Hey, Caitlin.
Yeah.
You know something cool about our podcast?
What?
Since, like, we're never going to break up or anything, and we're married, and we're, like, a team, we can keep on making this podcast forever.
Until we're old people.
Until we die. That's where I wanted to get you. I wanted to end on, like, until we die. All right, guys, we have an exciting podcast lined up for you guys. We are going to be talking with our friend Paul Jackman. This is actually still from our round of interviews that we did at WorkbenchCon.
We've been spreading them out.
Yeah. Like, you know, we really made that time count. We're also going to be talking about how we come up with ideas and kind of the process we go through before we even start filming or editing or anything like that.
And if we have time, we'll play a little bit of Would You Rather.
Yeah, I think we can fit it all in.
Yeah, I mean, that's like philosophy for life. Do all the things.
Do all the things. That's such our true philosophy. Well, first, like, if you guys haven't heard of Paul Jackman, he is just an amazing YouTube creator.
His channel is called Jackman Works.
Yeah, I always like search Paul Jackman and then his thing, and then it doesn't come up. And I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, Jackman Works. So we first met at New York Maker Faire. And I forget, like, who texted who first, but, like, we made plans to meet up.
Well, so, okay, I'll tell the story.
Okay. Caitlin's better at remembering events and everything.
Yeah. First off, should we talk about his channel?
Yeah. So he's, like, a woodworker. He has a lot of really awesome subtle humor in his videos. Very dry, but also it's like lots of magical things happen, right?
Yes. It's editing magic. Like, if you want to get some fun ideas or figure out how to remove 30 clamps just by jumping on a pallet, watch Paul Jackman's videos. We'll show you how to do those things.
I mean, he just does it via magic. And I think it's a lot of like, you know, editing tricks and After Effects and everything like that. But, like, he's another creator that puts a lot of time into his edits to make them, like, next level.
And, like, you don't want to look away.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you're watching his videos, if you blink, you might miss something. Because there's, I mean, some things are very obvious and some things are super subtle. And you might miss it.
Yeah. So, go back to the story of how we met.
Okay. So, at New York Maker Faire, that was our very first maker event since starting our channel, and we kind of run into a few people. We knew some people were going. We had chatted with Paul, like, on Instagram or in comments or something.
Was that before the GIF battle started?
That was I think before
yeah.
So we had chatted a little bit, but we hadn't met, and we were with a group coordinating dinner, and we didn't have a car. Paul Jackman had a car. Somebody coordinated with Paul, or we texted Paul, and he was like, oh yeah, I'll pick you guys up. So we're on some random street in Queens. We have no idea where we are. We're just at the place where we were supposed to meet, and we see his bright red Honda Fit, like, speeding by, and we're like, yeah, it's Paul! And we run into the street and hop into his car.
Yeah, and like, that was the first time we met. Like, oh hi, we're just jumping into your car.
We actually have a clip of that.
Oh, we do?
It's really bad because we had the GoPro on your backpack and we were running into the street. But it's in if you guys want to see a really old vlog, we had a Maker Faire New York vlog. We'll link to it.
But yeah. Oh, man. That was back in the day.
That was the first time we met. And we did start doing epic GIF battles. Well, it started on Twitter.
But that's not even my favorite part of that story. So we jumped into his car. We went to their Airbnb and we hung out. Oh, no. We went to dinner and hung out with a lot of fun people there. But I think that at some point before or after dinner, we just all decided to go to, like, a supermarket or something.
Yeah, we went to the grocery store.
We went to the grocery store and it was like, midnight. Like a long walk, like along sketchy streets. And it was just like such an adventure. It was like so random, and it just felt like we were back in college or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, random adventures, here we go.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was fun. But I think that one of the things that we talk about in the interview coming up is how some of the recent builds he's done have been, like, gigantic. And if you guys haven't seen some of them, I think the very first giant thing he made was the Adirondack chair.
I think that was the first one I saw. I don't know if it was the very first he made.
He took a break from doing massive stuff. And then he went on, like, a massive stuff, like, joyride, and he made like a gigantic utility knife that's like 2 feet long with a giant blade. A
giant nutcracker that's as tall as he is, maybe taller.
Yeah, and then like a hand plane that like has a blade that's like a foot wide or something like that.
Yeah. A giant screwdriver.
Yeah, giant screwdriver.
Yeah, that's all made out of resin.
Yeah.
Which is insane. Yeah. They're Jackman sized builds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's important to know for this upcoming interview. But before don't wanna like tease it too much. Let's just
jump right into it. My most pressing question. How much sawdust have you actually eaten?
In
the name of creating entertaining shots.
More than I should have. More than is appropriate.
Okay, that's kind of
I'm at the limit where I should be institutionalized.
Yeah.
Whatever that amount is.
I actually, I am wondering, like, were there any things, have there been any, because you put a lot of, like,
Secret things
in your, not secret things, but like,
subtle
Easter
subtle
eggs.
Things. Yeah, a lot of Easter eggs where like people have to be paying attention, and I'm sure that adds a lot of work. Like, how much extra time goes into that, or do you just kind of come up with them on the fly?
Yeah, it usually happens on the spot. It's not planned most of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just like wake up in the middle of the night and think of a funny idea and write it down. Be like, I'll incorporate that in a project eventually.
And then are you able to go to sleep afterwards? Because I just sometimes can't.
Not usually.
Yeah.
But a lot of it just pops up on the spot. It's just, I don't know, it's natural. And it just incorporates in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So has there been any, like, so subtle thing that no one's noticed it?
Probably.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now
and that's the funniest thing, too, is when they don't pick it up. Because I watched in the comments for this.
Yeah.
People pick up on the stuff.
And people like, they timestamp it, you know?
Yeah, people know to look for that stuff at this point.
Yeah.
So they're looking for stuff to jump in. And
I mean, there's the obvious, like, palette, you know, magic that happens with, like, touching. You know, you do the Jackman touch, and it turns into perfectly planed wood and stuff.
But, it would be fun to hide something where... Oh, sorry. It would be fun to hide something where, like... People have to watch multiple videos to get it. Like, there's a message or something.
I've thought about doing that, hiding a secret message somewhere.
Yeah.
It may or may not have happened yet.
Oh, you'll have to watch and find out.
It hasn't, but maybe it has.
Maybe not. Maybe you should watch all of Paul's videos.
It's like, and then like later on,
I like doing that on Instagram too.
Someone like texts you like a picture of like a map with all the videos in the string. I just like imagine Always Sunny.
Oh yeah, Charlie. And just like the string.
They figured me out.
We got it. We got the code.
On Instagram, the nutcracker that I made, the giant nutcracker.
Yeah.
And in the first photo that I took, the nutcracker model was hiding in the background.
Whoa. Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
as the photos progressed,
it
got more and more obvious until finally a few people picked up on it. And at the end of the project, I published a multiple pictures on Instagram. I was like, this is, and I circled it. I was like, he's been hiding all these photos this whole time.
So good.
So even before people knew that it was a nutcracker.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was in the background. It just looked like segmented rings. It looked like I was making a bowl or something.
Yeah, but
and
in
he was
background,
in the background.
Hidden.
Yeah. So you could see like the red and green nutcracker
so
if you were looking
good.
For
it's like,
it.
It just makes me think of Joker for some reason. I don't know. It's like the plan has been there
like
all
a
along.
Man.
Yeah. So I think that like one of the things that ties together a lot of the things that you do is like going that extra step. With sponsors, you like integrate their products even more. You know, go the next step with your projects in terms of the editing, the stop motion, all of that.
And also, like, the project itself. Like, you're not just going to make a nutcracker. It's going to be giant.
6.5 feet tall.
6.5 feet tall.
Did you kind of just, like, find your way there gradually, naturally? Or has that been, like, the thing that you've been pursuing?
I don't know. I guess it's been a slow progression. But I started this when I was, like, a teenager. I went to a trade high school and learned a lot of what I know from that.
Wow.
So I started early. So I had that, you know, that advantage ahead of me.
Yeah.
And it just kind of built from there. So I've gotten to the point where I'm pretty good at woodworking. Like when I see something, I know how to make it. So kind of naturally has just progressed into pushing it to the next level.
Yeah.
Because like,
that's
the thing,
too. You've done all the normal things.
Right.
Now let's do the crazy.
I've built plenty of boxes and bowls and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, but it's just progressed from that and like pushing it to the limit. So, you know, anybody can turn a segmented bowl, but like what's the infinite extent of that?
Yeah.
How far can you push it? The technique is all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the fundamentals are exactly the same.
Yeah.
But the end goal is like something you haven't seen before, which is fun to do. it was crazy to see on Twitter. We saw that you responded to a Rhett and Link post about the cutting board. I didn't know about that origin story.
I didn't know that either.
Did you see it pop up on the show? Had you noticed it?
I think I've seen it in the future, but didn't know it was your creation.
Yep.
That's so crazy. So it's like, was that the first launch that you had?
That was a big spike. That was one of my first, I don't know, dozen videos probably.
Wow.
Dang.
So it was really early on. And
that's
I was like,
crazy.
I just love what they're doing. Like, they always have a cool spin on how they're building their business. And like, they started by making like comedy, like parody TV commercials.
And they push things to the next level too.
They do.
Yeah.
In every genre too.
Yeah.
Like, I just heard they're coming out with like a novel that they wrote. Like, that's the latest
thing.
Wow. And they have a podcast. They make these videos. They just started like their own Patreon thing. And
oh, like their own version of Patreon.
Yeah, so it's built
kind of like
on
Woodworker's Guild, but for comedy.
Right.
Ah, yeah.
Right, but just for their channel.
Yeah.
So it's built off the backbone of what Patreon is.
Yeah.
But with their own branding on top of it.
Oh, they're using the Patreon like code and everything, but it's their own with their own coding and everything.
Yeah.
I wonder
somebody
if
else has
Patreon,
done that.
Wow.
And I can't remember who it was, but Patreon like acquired another company that is like the backbone of Patreon or was, and now they've taken it in and kind of, you know, added that to their company.
But they're
always, you know, at the start of things and pushing, developing what's new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Defining that.
Didn't they acquire, isn't the company called Kit? They acquired somebody recently. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
They did acquire them. That's different though.
That's different. Okay.
Yeah. They're all over the place.
So many acquisitions. You can't keep up with them all.
Right.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so the cutting board popped up on Twitter because they broke it. They were like chopping a chicken's head off, like a black chicken. I have no idea what the story behind that is. But they ended up cracking the board right down the middle.
Oh, man.
And that was about 3 years ago that I built it.
The chef, though, said he's been abusing it and he's been seeing that crack growing bit by bit.
I noticed
as they like destroy it every time.
A few months ago, because I watch whenever they bring the cutting board on, it's like, hey, that's it. And like it's really nice to see it. It's just
like
cool.
A child of yours, and they destroyed it.
It means nothing to anybody else, but I just know when I see it, I was like, hey, I made that 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I noticed a small crack in the front of it, and I was about to send him a new one. I was like, I should just surprise him with a new cutting board and say, hey, send me the old one back, and I'll keep that just as like a memento.
Yeah, with all the scars and cuts
and
everything.
Yeah. And then sell it on eBay for $1 million.
And
retire.
Send him a new one.
Business plan.
Get the destroyed one, and then you can like domino it back together with like some glowing epoxy down the center or something like that.
So I was talking with Josh, I think, the mythical chef Josh, they call him.
Yeah.
So I was chatting with him on Twitter, DMs.
Yeah.
And we're working something out.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Nice.
But they've already disposed of the old one. Because I
asked,
I said, can you send it back to me? And they said we...
Okay.
Right. What was I saying?
So,
they politely told you that they had gotten rid of it.
Yeah. So
it
the wording
had, like chicken stuff on it.
The wording that they said that they recycled it. And I was like, I don't know what that means. So I was like, so you had a bonfire? Like, how do you recycle a?
They gave it a Viking funeral.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's been disposed of.
Yeah.
It was a nicer way of saying that, I guess.
So with all of the effort you put into each video, is there one video that like? You like put all this effort into and you thought it was going to be like a hero video and then like no one found it. Like it didn't get out as wide as you thought.
I don't know. There's a lot of those.
Oh, a lot? Oh, no.
Yeah, because like every video I was like, oh, this could be a million views just because it's crazy and it seems like an awesome build. And sometimes they pop out, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Like the Nutcracker's at like 80,000 views, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like that's solid, but I was expecting more.
Just because of how big and epic it is. I mean, it's a big and epic thing.
Yeah, it was a big undertaking to build that. It was a lot of hours.
Well, and I imagine also, like, in your edits, I imagine it takes you a pretty decent amount of time. I know sometimes we'll talk to people and they're like, yeah, I knock on my edits in 2 hours. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
You can't do special effects in 2 hours?
Yeah.
No, you cannot.
Yeah. But, I mean... Yeah, I guess it's hard. I mean, if anyone knew what was going to happen in the future and could, like, understand why the internet loves some things and not others, we would you know, we would be taken off like crazy. But it's so hard to predict things, especially with the viral-ish type content. You know, you never know what's going to, like, trigger people's imagination in a certain way. Yeah.
that's true. And I think, like, it's not even so much, like, what the internet will like. I mean, it's about what the certain portion of people that happens to see your video in the first 24 hours, like, what they like, and then they kind of determine the fate of it.
Yeah, you know? It's all out by chance.
Yeah.
If, like, more people saw it, they might love it, but they just don't know.
They just don't see it.
Yeah, they just didn't get it in front of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy. I'm curious... Oh, no, sorry. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, that's the chance that we have to take with every video.
Yeah.
Like, you never know what's going to happen when you put it out. But the good thing about us is the risk-reward is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, you have the risk... The risk of your time invested in that project, but it's like, probably hasn't cost you too much money.
Yeah.
So it's not a huge risk for a potential, you know, you could get a million views on it and have huge growth in your channel, or it could flop and you get 20,000-30,000 views and that's fine.
Yeah.
And you move on to the next project.
But I mean, like, the thing is, it's like gambling, but even losing is winning.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the upside is like, up there.
It's a small negative, but a potential huge positive.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's why it's so addictive to put out videos.
Yeah.
That's why it's easy to be like, you know, we should really cut back, only do like a few videos a month. And then it's like, no, we have another idea. We have to do it now before anyone else does it.
Yeah. I'm assuming that you might have a similar sentiment. The hardest thing for us about this is not getting to be able to do all of the videos we want to do.
Yeah.
Is that about the same?
Time is a limitation.
Time is such a limitation.
For sure.
Yeah. That's the biggest
challenge. I mean, shop space too, but mostly time.
I mean, like, you have a particular constraint right there, you know? Yeah. But time is
you probably
is tough.
Have, like, the biggest project to smallest shop proportion I can think of people. Because your projects are some of the biggest. And not that, you know, I mean, there are other people with small shops too. Like, our shop is not huge or anything.
I think Bob's might have been the biggest channel with the smallest shop. I mean, the original shop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a closet.
But I was thinking, like, project size.
A large closet.
Project size.
I'm going
to
stay in my garage so that I can take that title.
Yeah.
Whatever the ratio of shop size to subscriber
just
numbers
is. Just make a new shop, but within your shop.
Right.
It's like you crawl in and you have, like, the most ultra wide camera in the corner, and you're at your little station.
Yeah, shot build.
You see the whole shop in one shot.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Okay, well, you do build it out of acrylic, and then you have all of the different angles set up, so you'll be in there.
The camera's outside of the shop itself. So you're not tripping over a tripod. Genius.
Okay, yeah, and then what you do is you get some hamsters.
Patton.
Yeah, get some hamsters.
That's
build
how it works,
a
right?
little house right next to your workshop for the hamsters. And then do hamster-sized projects.
Okay.
In your tiny, tiny shop.
I thought you were going to say hamster-powered tools.
That's what I thought you were going to say, too. Well, both. If you have a set of hamsters, you might as well put them to good use. And if you're building them projects, then they should work some,
Earn
too.
Their keep.
Earn their keep. Yeah, you should just switch all of a sudden to really, really, really tiny projects.
Oh, yeah.
Then just throw everybody off.
Just like 2020, as soon as the year starts.
Yeah. Be like, you
just completely
you knew
change
me?
Direction.
It's like
Jackman-sized flips.
Build a giant pole barn.
Yeah.
And make tiny little tools in there.
Yeah. But then, like, you have your big stickers right now. This is like, get the tiny stickers, you know, the little happy facers.
Yeah.
Like the ones that say made in China, like that size.
That, and there's like, there's like tiny Jackman bomb everything.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Every store I go to and everybody's car has a little Jackman on it.
Making plans for chaos.
Right.
Yeah. Keep everybody on their toes.
I
used to work with this old woodworker, like super smart guy. And we had this theory that miter saws are hamster powered. If you ever like push down on the trigger and you really listen to it, it takes like, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds for actually to get up to speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you actually listen to it, you can like picture a hamster in there just running as fast as possible.
Getting
go.
Up to speed?
Yeah.
We'll have to take ours apart one day and tell you
it
what we find.
Yeah.
Find our hamster.
That might ruin my theory, so don't do that.
Okay. We don't want to ruin your childhood dreams. Or mid-adult dreams.
Yeah, that was 20s or so.
So one thing that I was curious about, it seems like, so you went, you did woodworking really early on, and have you just like stayed within the woodworking, like, has that been your job for most of your life?
Yeah, so I did that at the vocational high school, and as soon as I graduated, I started doing it on the side, just like side gigs.
Yeah.
And I would build some small pieces of furniture, and I did some like deck building, some small remodeling jobs. And I went to college, and during summer breaks and vacations, I was back home building stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how I paid for college.
Wow.
Was by doing all those side jobs.
That's awesome.
I mean, it was a lot of, it was 100 hours a week or something.
Yeah.
Summers. It was nuts. But I was able to pay for college with that.
Wow.
Dang.
So it was a part-time job, a full-time job over the summer.
Wow.
Really. And that, as soon as I graduated, I, you know, worked in the construction industry for 3 years as an estimator.
Uh-huh.
And did it on the side at that point, too. Yeah, I had, that was my like first videos. If you look way back in the horrible videos down in the basement, that was the original shop.
Yeah.
Man.
And I was there for 3 years, just kind of figuring stuff out and putting a shop together there.
Yeah.
And at that point, after 3 years, I took it full time. My wife joined the Coast Guard. Mm. We had to move. I had to quit my job. So I was like, well, let's give this a shot. I was starting to see some traction on YouTube. I was really getting into the video aspect
So what subscribers were you at when you kind of went full-time?
I had no business going full-time. I had like 20,000 subscribers or something.
Hey, we started doing ads at 20. You know, you can start monetizing.
Yeah. Little baby ads.
Although,
I feel like when at the time, because what, how many years ago was that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like that was more early days.
Yeah, I feel like that it might have been, this is just me speculating, it seems like it might have been harder to get sponsors being at a smaller size then than it was when we were starting to get sponsors, you know, like year and a half ago.
Yeah, because it's becoming more and more of a known thing to more companies. Yeah,
so like there's more competition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But also it's more familiar to the brands.
Yeah.
The whole content creation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really.
Maybe they grew at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like it's really hard to give it. I feel like I say this all the time, but it's really hard to give advice to people pursuing this as a career because, one, every type of content is different. Two, everything's changing all the time.
Right.
And three, I have to say three because you do things in threes. There should be a third thing. I was really just two. Yeah. Well, so what do you have any exciting things coming up in the future?
I don't know. More big builds.
More big builds.
Hashtag Jackman size builds.
Yeah. I'm actually curious. Has there ever been like a crazy idea that you were going to do and you had to cancel it for some reason, like it was too crazy or just too impractical or it didn't work?
I do have one idea and I'm not going to share it because it might still happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But it was like a collaboration with a couple of brands that was going to happen at Maker Faire potentially. It would be a big undertaking, like a huge time commitment.
Yeah,
it would probably take me a couple months to build.
Dang.
So I'm trying to figure out how to make that work financially to make sense. Like, I can commit 2 weeks to making 300 coasters and make it make sense, barely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this project would be a big undertaking. So there's potential there.
So do you prefer the bigger and less frequent projects, or?
That's what gets me excited.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
The ridiculous things, like going that extra distance. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've had opportunities to work with brands and make smaller things. I've just said no.
Yeah.
It was more simple stuff.
And
it just doesn't excite me anymore, so I just don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just say no.
Yeah. And you get to make that choice.
Right. Yeah. I'm in a really nice position. I'm lucky to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I've had that mentality since the beginning, though. So it's a bad business move, but it's very fulfilling for me.
But at the same time, it's great to keep your voice and your personality and everything consistent for your brand instead of flip-flopping
and
stuff.
I've been very adamant about that since the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've never done a mid-roll ad on my videos just because I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine for some people if they want to do it. You guys do it too.
And
that's fine. But this on my channel, I just felt like it didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Like, if I put that in my videos. So I've been, insistent with brands and working with them. Like, this is what I want the video to look like. And if you're not okay with that, then, we'll just move on.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a good relationship for either of us.
Yeah.
So if we just can't make that work and, organically integrate it into the project, then I'll find somebody that wants to do that.
It's pretty nice to organically integrate, like, this, like, very literally the things you've recently been building. You've built, like, the hand plane. And that's the thing. It's like, it works out pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the whole video, the whole build is an ad.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like an ad.
And it can, because it's not, in
really,
a way.
Really, really nice.
Yeah, and you're creating a win-win-win,
So the whole, I don't know, that'll be probably a 15, 20-minute long video.
Yeah.
The whole 15, 20-minute long video is a Rockler ad,
really.
Yeah.
But it's very organically integrated. You don't feel like you're watching an ad. So it's good for the brand. It's good for the viewer. It's good for me.
But it's like,
so that, it works out really, really
you
well.
You would want to do that anyways. You know, it's like you just want to build a giant hand plane. You know, it's like that's something that's super exciting. Who wouldn't want to do that?
The thing is, like, how do I trick people to pay me to do that?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But that's the thing, is you have to figure out how to give value to the brand, to the viewers, all at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have all those things level out so that it works out all at the same time. Equally.
The win, win, win.
The win, win, win.
Win, 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 win.
The win, 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 win.
Speaking of sponsors and winning and all of that stuff, WorkbenchCon is still going on out there. We don't want to keep you for too long.
Yeah.
just like sneaking away into our little corner. Yeah. But thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you.
I would like to shake your hand.
Great to meet you, Mr. Rowan.
Yes. Oh, it's great.
You're so formal. So formal. All right. Bye.
Bye.
And now we're back from outer space.
I think you did that in the last episode. Oh, dang it. Did you do that in the last episode?
Probably. It's just such a natural thing to say, don't you think?
Totally. That's why I say it all the time, too. Never.
All right. Well, I think that kind of related to the talk we had with Paul. I think that one thing that would be fun to talk about, and we've actually gotten a lot of questions about it, is like how we come up with ideas. What's the process behind it? And I think that like the most common question we get around ideas is, are you guys going to run out? Are you afraid that you're going to run out?
Oh, yeah. We do get that question. That's definitely not a fear.
Not a fear. We just have too many ideas.
The fear is not getting to them all. Or that, like, you have a really awesome idea.
And someone else does it.
Does it first.
I mean, you know, it's like, it's not that we want to be jealous with our ideas, but we you know, it's like we put a lot of time and thought into these ideas.
Yeah.
Because they're ideas. And we thought of them. But, like, you know, I don't know. It's like, there's only, like, one time where someone gets to be first.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been first to a couple things.
We have been first to a couple things.
The geode table.
Yeah.
That was first.
Yeah. We, you know, and we've done a lot of original things too. I mean, like, you know, this desk is such a combination of so many different things, but you know?
I think the thing is, like, so even using the geode table or the desk, no idea. I mean, this is
no idea is original.
Unique sentiment, but no idea is original. Like, yeah. The geode table, we've seen people do. And if you don't know, that's our table where we took like a cookie slab and we carved out the middle and we poured a resin geode into it. We've seen people do resin geodes before. We've seen people make cookie slab tables before. We've seen people do power carving before. We just put those together.
Combined elements. Yeah.
And I think, you know, that I think some people put a lot of pressure on themselves to come up with something 100% unique, but everything is combining some form of elements and putting your twist on it.
Yeah, I mean, that could be said about anything. I mean, like, you know, painting a painting. Oh, people have used brushes to put paint on canvas before. It's like...
Okay.
You know, it's like...
What if I paint the canvas with my eyelashes?
Or your feet?
No, people have done that.
Yeah, I know. I'm referencing Simone.
Yeah. Eyelashes. Yeah.
Eyelashes.
I don't think anyone's done that.
What about your nose?
Too easy. That's
too
easy. You gotta go.
But like it's too easy. That's horrible. Like, it's like blinking a painting into existence and getting paint all over your eyes. You gotta suffer for the art.
You gotta suffer for the art. You gotta suffer for original art. You just be real careful and you just.
For those of you listening, you didn't get anything from that. Caitlin was blinking against her microphone. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Subtle ASMR there. Okay, we're getting a little bit off track. I think that, okay, so going back to our list of ideas, we have multiple lists of ideas. We have a whole Google document full of ideas. We have our Airtable full of, like, next tier, more urgent ideas
but
and
how
everything.
How would you say we come up with ideas? Because it's kind of a hard question to answer. People say, like, where do you go for inspiration?
We come up with ideas in three ways. And I didn't think this through before I said three, but now I have to come up with three. But like I was thinking of them as I raised my hand. So I think it is three.
Okay, let's see.
So one, just incidental, like you see something, you're like, ooh, it's like inspiration just strikes us.
Okay.
Right? Because like a lot of our ideas have happened from just like out of nowhere in the middle of the night or while we're walking, something just hits us and we just, that, and I think that those do come from somewhere. It's like we have been brainstorming in the back of our head or we've been thinking about this one thing that's interesting. But that's like the slow method, mm-hmm. right?
That's the, like, wait for it to hit method.
Yeah. There's another method where we really just like sit down and we just brainstorm.
Yeah.
You know? And
I think that helps when you have some... I think that method's easier when you have some sort of parameter. Goal?
Yeah, yeah. You have to be restricted to a certain degree. Like, it has to be out of wood, or it has to be power carved, or it has to be, like, you know, using a CNC. I think that putting some parameters around that brainstorming really helps.
And I think it's okay to set false parameters for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, even
that,
if...
That makes it interesting sometimes.
Even if there are no parameters, to be like, okay, I have to do this project. You know, a lot of people do limited tool builds. So mm-hmm. it's like, I have to do this project with only two tools. Yeah. What can I do with only two tools? Or I have to build something entirely out of resin.
Ooh, oh, my dream. Yes.
You know, or whatever the construct might be.
Yeah. And I think the third is targeted research. And I think that's separate from just like, all right, let's just do something out of wood and let's brainstorm, go. Like, this is like, we'll go to Etsy, we'll go to Instagram, we'll go to
Pinterest.
We'll like really... And I think that within that targeted research, you can target something broad or you can target something really specific. And I think those are the three ways we come up with ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think part of it sometimes, this might be like a fourth way, is looking around the house and seeing what we need.
You know? Like pain points or things that are missing.
Yeah. Like, for example, we knew in this office we needed a podcast desk.
Yeah.
And then once we had that, that was our constraint. It was like, okay, we need a podcast.
And then we started
researching
from there.
How do we make it interesting?
Yeah. And I think that we've talked about this before, but there's so many factors that go into what idea we pursue.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that I don't want to list a number, but let's go through the things that are most important. One, is it feasible within a reasonable time frame?
Yeah.
That's kind of like a really big factor, because if it takes us too long, then we just kind of can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe eventually if we got to a point where we had so much crazy lead time, but we're not there.
We do have that one idea that we want to do really bad, but we know it's going to take like 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just the coolest idea, guys.
I know. We do need to just start doing that one little by little. But yeah, I think so time... like feasibility during a certain period of time, that's a big one.
I think that another is, will it be interesting? It has to have one element of like interest to it.
I mean, I wouldn't say it has to have one element of interest to it.
Well, I think it either has to be kind of like useful or unique or, you know, have an opportunity for humor, or it just has to have like one, at least one thing that makes it stand out in some way. You know,
yeah.
So it's like, you know, replacing a faucet, you know, like in our sink. I'm not sure if what. No.
So I think we can't exclude stuff like that, because we've done stuff like that. We even have a project coming up that is like a common household kind of fixing up DIY.
Yeah.
It's not like a big makeover. So that's why I'm taking out the qualifier of like, it has to have one interesting thing. I think like you can make anything interesting if you're interested in doing it, you know what I mean?
You're right. Yeah,
I have no desire to replace a faucet because we don't need it to replace any of our faucets. Our faucets. But this project we have coming up is a Lowe's project. You guys will be seeing it soon. It's one that like we actually really need.
We really need
it. So it's not.
We can tell a story around it.
It's maybe not the most exciting thing, yeah, but because we really need it and we've been putting off for so long.
But I think that is an exciting thing. That is like the thing that makes it next level, because like we can tell a story around that.
Yeah, but you can apply that to anything. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't have to be inherently interesting. Like if you saw it on paper.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think like you just have to be able to get excited about it yourself.
Yeah.
And
okay.
If you can get excited about it yourself, you can make it interesting.
So I think that's a better qualifier. We have to be excited about it.
Yeah.
Because if we're not excited about it, it's not going to be a good video. But we can get excited about all sorts of things, whether we need it, whether it's something used in a new way, whether it's like something that's going to be funny.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's it. It's not the project has to have something unique going for it. It's just that we have to be excited about it for some reason.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons why we could be excited about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So time, excitement.
Yeah.
What else?
So this one isn't really that much of an issue, but it does affect like the timing of things more than like what project we tackle. It's more about when we get to tackle it, but sponsors.
Because
almost all of our videos are sponsored. It's, you know, sponsors make up 60% of our income, so we kind of have to.
Like that's why we were able to do this full time so early on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if we didn't have as many awesome sponsors as we do, we might still be, you know, working our day jobs right now.
Yeah, and only making a few videos a month.
No, if we made that many, that would be impressive if we were able to keep that up for this long. But But yeah, so a lot of times the timing of stuff will be affected by sponsors. So there's some sponsors that they don't give a crap about what video you put their ad with.
Which is so great.
Which is super awesome. The downside is usually it, you know, comes off as more of an ad read rather than a natural integration.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like Squarespace is an example. Mm-hmm. It's not related to the project at all, which is great. They don't care what we put it with. But because it's not related, it feels like an ad read. But then other brands, you know, like Lowe's, for example, it's very closely tied to what we do, like project wise. And so,
but it's interesting because, like, you know, you're trying to create this.
Are you about to say win-win-win? Because you said it in the interview.
Win-win-win.
How many interviews have you said that in?
All of them.
Proceed.
I have permission to proceed. But it's like, you know, if you can find a project that you're really excited about and it fits well with the brand and it's something that your audience might love, that is like a perfect win-win-win situation. But at the same time, if you're restricting yourself from tackling things because you don't have a sponsor, and having a sponsor that doesn't fit as well allows you to do something that you enjoy and your audience will enjoy, I think it's still a win, even though it's not as closely tied.
Oh, yeah. No, I 100% think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, especially nowadays, it seems like most people they accept sponsored ad spots in videos.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many more people doing YouTube full time, and it's just kind of like how it is.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's like our Bob Ross video. I'm not sure if we could have gotten any sponsor naturally to tie in. Like, no one was going to like, you know, like no paint.
I mean, we tried reaching out to like art companies.
Yeah, we tried multiple. Multiple. Yeah,
multiple.
And we got like partway down the discussion route with them, and things just fizzled out just because maybe the budget's not there.
I mean, it's just, it's hard to convert a company that's never done it before.
Yeah, true.
We've done it sometimes, but we've tried a lot of companies just because we wanted to work with them, and you know, it just fizzled out. But yeah, so it's great to have, you know, one of those non-specific sponsors, like non-project specific sponsors, to be able to allow you to do something like a Bob Ross painting tutorial.
Another thing that's hit me recently is the performance of your videos isn't at all proportional to the amount of time you put into them.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so true.
And sometimes you had to put a lot of thought and time into the setup or the idea or whatever. You know, if you have a really good idea, sometimes that's where a lot of the value is. But there is no real correlation between amount of time put into the project and amount of views it gets.
Yeah. No, it's super true. For example, like our spin art video is sitting at 500,000 views.
500,000. Yeah, I just saw that the other day. That's so wonderful.
Yeah, and it, you know, we put some time into the idea, some time into the setup, but it was one of our quicker videos to film and to edit and to think of the idea.
And some of our other videos, we put a much higher amount of time into the project and even into the edit. And
yeah, and they just like, you know, didn't perform as crazy as that.
So. Yeah, so it's like the idea is so important. In terms of like, you know, putting a lot of time into that before we even start filming. And we do. We put a lot.
But also, I mean, just like we were saying, it's not necessarily proportional.
Yeah. Oh, and like time, like thought into the idea. I'm saying like it's really important to put a lot of time and thought into your idea before you even start. Because if it's a really good idea, then you can maybe combine like a shorter project and a really good edit.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then you get a really good video out of it.
Spending more time on the idea up front, which might like save you putting time into something that maybe was like 90% or 80% there, but it could be 100% there.
Really, really good idea. Really good example of this concept. It's like sometimes the words in my head don't come out right, and I need to talk through them until they make sense. The spin art is actually a perfect example of that.
We did think a lot about this.
We thought a lot about this, and we were like, ooh, let's do spin art. But then, like, what do we spin? Do we spin a canvas? Do we spin something that's just pre-made and ready to go so that it's more accessible? And then I actually thought, like, my first thought that came into my head is like, oh, I'll just like 3D print some parts and spin it up. I have a motor and I can do a custom mount to it. And I even 3D modeled it. And I was getting ready to print. And then Caitlin and I discussed it more, and we're like, oh, let's just modify a fan like the people on Pinterest do, or on Instagram do.
Yeah, Shelly Art.
Shelly Art. And, you know, it's like we worked through all of these iterations, and we came up with something that was really simple and accessible. And I think that's one of the reasons why this took off so much, because we really thought about how to shape the idea.
Yeah.
It's like, don't just go with your first instinct. Sorry, my nose itches. I need to blow my nose.
Dun, 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 dun. So I think, like, in the end, and, you know, I coming up with ideas has never been something that's too much of a struggle for us. You know, we've always been in, like, creative positions at work where you just got to come up with stuff. And I think the concept of coming up with ideas can be really intimidating if you're not in practice of it.
Yeah.
But I think if you don't put it on so much of a pedestal, I guess, and you just kind of start, like, a lot of times the projects will just start, like, listing whiteboarding dumb stuff.
Yeah.
We will just list the dumbest stuff and have a rule that, like, you can't start shooting down ideas until we're done with this round of just listing every dumb thing. And I think if you allow yourself to do that, you might be surprised with what you come up with. And also, you know, don't be afraid to look at other places for inspiration, because just because someone's done it doesn't mean you can't put your own unique twist on it. You know, I think there's a lot of things that make it intimidating, but if you take away some of those factors, like, oh, it can't be a dumb idea, oh, it has to be 100% original, if you take those away, I think you can come up with some really cool stuff. You just need to get past that mental block.
Yeah, and just practice, because we brainstorm ideas, like, pretty much every day almost.
Yeah, and, like, some of our ideas for earlier videos, I was like, wow, that was kind of a dumb idea, you know. But, like, it does take practice to get to ones where you're like, oh, that, I still like that idea, I still think that was a cool idea. I'm glad we did that, you know. So
good thoughts, good message.
Good thanks.
Good thanks. Well, you know what? I think that signals it's time for game time. I don't know how long this music is.
That's all I know.
All right. So today we're going to be playing Would You Rather?
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. Talking about coming up with ideas, we were coming up with ideas for Would You Rather just right now.
Oh, such good segue.
Yeah, I was doing this right before, and, like, one of my ways to come up with ideas for Would You Rather is just think of, like, areas for improvement or pain points, and think of either awesome or funny solutions to those.
No, so, see, and for me, I went on Reddit to browse ideas and get inspiration.
Oh yeah, two different ways to do
it. It's basically like going on Pinterest to get ideas for.
So it's like I restricted my ideas to, like, a concept that
pain
I could
points.
Yeah, pain points.
Yep, and I went online for inspiration.
Yeah,
see.
Oh yeah, look at that. Okay. Caitlin, would you rather have a magic cup that is always full of perfect temperature tea or perfect temperature coffee?
Tea? Yeah.
Just like instant access tea all the time?
Well, because I enjoy both. I mean, I guess I enjoy cold coffee and hot coffee, like iced coffee and hot, but also iced tea and hot tea. But I feel like coffee, I can only drink so much before I get, like, the jitters.
Oh, yeah.
Tea, I can drink that All day.
So 100%. If you could only have one tea, this isn't part of the question because this is, like, kind of more open-ended, but if you could only have one tea in there, in your magic pot of tea, what tea would it be?
Oh my god!
I know, it's kind of like on the spot, like, because, like, your favorite tea is the one with the milk in it, right? But that's too much.
Well, I mean, this doesn't mean I can't have other tea
in
other cups.
Yeah, true.
So the one that I would have in the perfect cup would be my chai tea lattes.
Oh.
Because iced tea, it's easier to keep cold things cold, like in a Yeti, than it is to keep hot things hot, at least in my cup.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's if you have tea without milk in it, it's less gross to take a sip and you're like, oh, it's kind of lukewarm, than it is when it has milk in it. So the ones with milk is priority.
So you're going for
it,
like, a convenient thing. Because, like for me, like, I like the chai tea, but I can only have so much.
Oh, but I am drinking it all the time.
Okay. Well, that's it. Yeah. Good answer. You get a handshake.
Thank you.
All right. What's your question for me?
Okay. Would you rather visit the real Jurassic Park or the real Willy Wonka's chocolate factory?
Real Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Because, like freaking dinosaurs, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that'd be so cool. And Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory, okay, it has some cool things going for it and stuff, but it's still just like a crazy industrial factory, you know? It's like dinosaurs.
Okay, I feel the same.
Dinosaurs.
I didn't know if risk.
Risks with both, you know?
And like one thought I had is that, okay, you know, of course there's the documented Jurassic Park disasters.
Yes.
Basically what each movie is made about. But those seem to be pretty few and far between.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like a plane crashing.
Yeah, like Willy Wonka let kids in the chocolate factory once and they all were horribly.
Yeah, it's like 4 out of 5 were terribly injured or disfigured, and you don't even know how many Oompa Loompas
are lost daily.
Yeah, daily. Yeah, so it's causing some danger.
Yes, it's interesting. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. A really brutal movie for kids.
Really brutal, yeah.
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 What's up with that?
I don't know. It's really pretty, it's pretty intense.
Now, which Jurassic Park iteration would you rather go to? Like Jurassic Park 1. Jurassic Park 2 was when the dinosaur came back on land, right? You know, so that really wasn't the attraction.
No.
Or the more modern one. I'd say the more modern one. That was pretty cool.
I don't know. So the modern one was cool because there's like the bubble there floating around.
Yeah, the bubble and like the rolling ball and stuff.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I don't know though. I kind of want the Jeep.
You kind of want that Jeep? You're on rails.
Yeah.
And then you're just like going through like fenced attractions and stuff.
Oh,
see, in one,
you're right.
You're like on a Jeep on rails, but free roaming in that little hamster ball, even though like, you know, shit went bad.
But I guess, we're going to have to bleep you out.
Oh, poop went sour. Is that worse?
That's worse. But I guess one thing is like, if things go down and you're in the Jeep one, you can still drive the Jeep.
Can you?
Yeah, they did. They drove the Jeeps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think they were on rails.
They weren't on rails?
Maybe for some parts.
I thought that they were on rails.
I feel like some parts were on rails, but they also drove the Jeeps. Remember, they're driving away from the T-Rex?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like you can still get away with those bubbles if stuff goes down and you're trapped in a bubble. Like, you're just trapped in a bubble.
Yeah. I think I'd still go for the bubble. Live dangerously and roam free with the dinosaurs. All right. My question for you.
Okay.
Would you rather have to cook every meal for yourself, but all the ingredients are free, or you have to go out forever, but all costs are fully covered? See, because there's a time commitment there, too. You know, it's like you had to commit fully, 100% either way.
Yeah. I think I would cook.
Yeah.
Because, like, if all the ingredients are free, I could still save some time by getting, like, things that are pre-washed, pre-cut.
Mm.
Like, things that... save me some time. You know, you can buy like a pre-chopped container of onions.
Yeah.
You know, instead of an
onion. You can buy chopped onions?
Yeah, I don't because they're more expensive.
Ugh, that's weird.
Well, yeah, it's like an HEB. I mean, it's. I think they chop them there. I don't know if all the grocery stores do it, but I think they like chop them there. You can buy them. Same with like celery and like, other stuff, other veggies. It's like in the veggie section.
Okay, cool.
because like there still is a time commitment to going out because you have to drive there. Mm-hmm. You have to wait for food to be served. You have to... I mean, I guess if you're like going somewhere quick, you don't really have to wait to get your bill. But
yeah.
You know, you can drive back. But if you're
any place quick, it's nasty.
I mean, it's not nasty, but like you get pretty burnt out on fast food. You get pretty burnt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you can do it a few times. Oh, hi, baby. Want to join us? Supervisor has entered. So, I think I would still take cooking and just try to use the advantage of free ingredients to save time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, yeah. Good answer.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think I'd do the same, even though it's like, it's such a hard decision to never eat out ever again. Like everything you're giving up.
But I feel like you're giving up more never cooking.
Yeah. But like, think about traveling too. You know, when you go travel, you'd have to like go to the, like you're on vacation. You have to go buy groceries to cook and everything. Both suck. But like, this is more of a curse thing.
Yeah. This is more of a curse. Then, it's like,
which is less bad? I think I'd say cook everything, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, there's so many good things that we cook, too. Like, giving up all of the things that only are available in our house.
Yeah.
That would suck, too.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, cool. And I feel like you'd end up being less healthy, and you would end up, like, I feel like when we go through time periods where we have to eat out more because we're more busy or we're traveling a bunch, we get more fooded out.
We do. We do.
Than if we've cooked a bunch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Would you rather meet Adam Savage or you never have to trim your beard or hair again? It's just always the perfect length that you want it to be.
Can you ask the question again?
Okay. So these are the two choices. Would you rather get to meet Adam Savage?
Yep.
Or you never have to trim your hair or beard again? They're just always magically whatever length you want them to be.
Okay. I would rather go with the full control over my facial hair, use that feature to get wildly popular, and then meet Adam Savage. Because in your question, you said, would you rather meet Adam Savage? That's like a guarantee. And you didn't say like, and if you choose the other, you never get to meet him, you know? Yeah. Use my famous, like world famous. So it's like, I'll go on stage and I'll go like, boom, big facial hair. And I'll have wild, long, flowing hair. And it'd be so magical. And everyone would want to see it in real life.
Including Adam.
Including Adam. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
I'll give it to you. I just love the picture of you like gloriously puffing your beard to its full potential. Oh, and then it goes in.
good attempt to challenge me though. All right, would you rather always have to drive uncomfortably faster than the speed limit or uncomfortably slow? I couldn't choose like a specific mile per hour because it depends on like the zone you're in, but like let's say like it's 30, you have to go 20 or like 45. And then when it's like 65, you either have to go 50 or like 85 or something like that.
I'd probably go slower.
You'd probably go slower?
Yeah. Even though like it would be annoying and both are unsafe, but I feel like I'm less likely to get pulled over if I'm going slower.
Yeah, so it's like just over the edge of what's acceptable. Over?
That's acceptable.
But like, I'm like thinking like 15.
Yeah, I feel like 15 over or like 10 to 15 under. Like
nothing extremely dangerous, but just like wrong. Uncomfortable. So you're just uncomfortable.
I don't like getting in trouble. And I feel like I'm more likely to get in trouble if I'm going 15 over
all the time.
An uncomfortable amount over rather than an uncomfortable amount under.
That would be so annoying.
It would be super annoying.
Yeah, but you're right. I think I'd do the same.
Yeah.
Even though it'd suck.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to get in trouble. Houstonians would hate us.
Yeah, I did do a few curse ones in this. Like, would you rather have this curse or this curse?
Yeah. Okay. Here's one. Would you rather have a completely automated home? Mm-hmm. Like everything is smart, or a self-driving car.
Like truly self-driving.
Truly self-driving.
And what would the fully automated home give me?
I mean, you could basically voice control. It's within like what is possible now.
Oh, okay. Then it's totally self-driving car. If it's like fully self-driving.
But you can do a lot now. Like all your lights, your AC, other things.
No. Because fully like to the like level it's available today, equipping your house with those features is cheaper and easier than getting a fully self-driving car.
Okay.
Are you saying like fully self-driving or just like some autopilot capabilities?
Fully self-driving.
Fully self-driving.
I feel like now I need to up the ante.
For
okay.
Sure.
What if the house is fully automated.
Self-driving cars, like we could just like go travel wherever and like work in the car as we travel, and like that'd be so nice. We could travel more because that's something that I'd like to do.
Yeah,
and just driving is so onerous. Is that the right word? Onerous.
Annoying.
Okay, so up to Annie on the house.
Okay, yeah.
Give me more.
Well, I don't really know what more it would be.
Have a robotic house that can cook and prep meals, then house.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like we basically train the house to like know our recipes. Mm. And we can say like, hey, house, make up some chicken fried rice or like some pasta, cheesy sauce, etc. Then, oh, yeah.
I like how you kind of sculpted your own. With your
Well, it's like, you know, it's like which would you rather choose?
I'd probably have the same answers as you.
So what would the house need to be able to do to make it worth giving up a fully self-driving car? It'd have to be like big pain point.
The main like reason against the self-driving car is we don't have the need to drive that much.
Yeah, but I think that if we had a fully self-driving car, we would go on trips more.
I think we'd go on like short trips more. Like we'd go visit my parents more.
Yeah, we'd go visit your parents more.
Little things like that, but I don't think we would necessarily go on long trips more because the the travel itself, like doing it in a car versus a plane, still adds a lot more time. And being away on the trip is still time. So it would still be hard to take. I think it really only makes sense for like short, like few hour trips.
What if the self-driving car had like a really nice table in it, really nice chairs, so that we could like work on our laptops while on the drive, you know, so you could get like editing done while we're driving.
Yeah. Right? That would be nice. Yeah.
We could be recording this podcast right now in our self-driving car / conference room. You know?
Now it's just kind of like a house on wheels.
No. I'd even be fine with like just like a car, and then there's a table in front of us with two computers. Mm-hmm. And mice and keyboard, and we're strapped into like comfy seats, and we're just like the car just drives, you know what I mean? And if needed, like we can like a little steering wheel can pop out from under the table for like that last little parking spot or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, you know, it's just like a table. It doesn't need to be too big, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. So what features would a house need to like take it up a level?
It would need
like,
to clean itself. It would need to cook.
Because like cleaning only needs to happen every now and then. I think that cooking would be like the killer feature.
Cooking would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But cleaning to me is more annoying than cooking.
Cleaning is really annoying.
Okay, what's your question?
Okay. So this is kind of like, I don't want to get too political or anything, but it's just kind of a curious thought to have. Would you rather be responsible for making the internet free to everyone or food free to everyone? And I know that food is like kind of the tempting choice, you know, because that would help out so many people. And don't worry about the logistics or the cost. Like the whole like world would come together and like have like a slight fee for everyone.
So is the question more like which of those
would you want to be responsible for?
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
With responsibility, are you asking like which one would I rather have the credit for doing?
Yes.
Or which would I rather have the tasks of doing?
Because the credit.
Okay.
Because like the tasks would be, both of them would be like huge and onerous and stuff. But
yeah,
like,
and like there would be a lot of like
if you had two buttons in front of you, and the world was watching.
Okay.
And you could make one or the other happen. Because like I thought about it and I was like, food was my initial thought, right? Because everyone needs food and not everyone has food, and that's a big problem. But internet has the capability to make people like, and I'm assuming like devices are accessible and everything like that. Everyone has access to it.
Assuming
like,
when you push the internet button, everyone also has a device magically.
Devices and stuff like that. Yeah, like, and power and everything. So they're like, there'd be some like side benefits to computers going to everyone that have power and stuff too.
For the food button,
yeah.
Is it something like when I push that button, like those people and families have food forever?
Forever, yeah. Everyone has food forever. Everyone, like the entire world at once, joins a global community, and people can like have access to jobs they never had before, opportunities.
I think I have to do food. I mean, yeah. I totally see why the internet is tempting, but food is a more basic like means of survival. And I think if people had those basic needs covered, they would have more availability in their life to pursue things that, you know, like other things like getting internet, and like pursuing education and this and that, when like you don't have to worry about food.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
I'd do the same.
Yeah.
I just thought it's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah.
Because like the internet's like the more like capitalistic type answer and stuff, like, and or potentially, I don't know.
I mean, but if it was everyone, if your answer had been like you push the food button and everyone gets like one meal, then I would choose internet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's more important.
Yeah, than even like, even if it was like meals for a year.
Yeah,
I still think internet might be more valuable
if it's like internet forever versus meals for any set period of time. But if it's meals for forever, I think that's better.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Okay.
I like having these discussions with you.
Yeah, that's fun. Would you rather always be 20 minutes early or always be 10 minutes late?
Always be 20 minutes early. Just because we don't have to show up to that many things.
Yeah.
And like, there's not that much waste of time. And we always have our phones with us so we can, you know, keep up with productives, emails,
comments. What would be your cutoff time? Because I'm kind of the same. I'm like, 20. I'd rather be early and just like do some productives.
If it was an hour early or 10 minutes late, I'd do 10 minutes late.
Yeah, I think I might too.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the like where that turning point is.
I might feel like 45 minutes early. I might because if you're consistently 10 minutes late, then everyone who deals with you knows that they're going to be always 10 minutes late.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally, but in general, I prefer to be early.
Me too. Me too.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was a little
like,
quick one.
Especially like there's okay. This is a little bit nerdy time. There's a like I've been wanting to get a pocket computer, like a full computer that fits in your pocket for so long. Caitlin has heard about it so many times
since college.
And finally, there's one coming out in 2019, I think. Like and there's been a couple iterations of it, but there's finally one where like it's powerful enough that it's like really going to be usable, and it's going to be like 5-inch screen, like 7-inch screen, so you can like fit it into your pocket, and it's a full computer, and you can like play like it's powerful enough that you could do something like video editing on it, you could do Photoshop on
it.
What? Yeah, it's crazy.
What?
I know.
Can run Adobe stuff on
it? It can run Adobe stuff on it, and it can fit in your pocket. So like, what if like you're like if you have to show up early, you just knocked out some editing. You know,
I would still rather have like computer. A laptop with me and carry a backpack around.
Okay, but like the idea of a computer that fits into your pocket—that's
yeah, that
so
that cool. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
All right, whose turn is it?
Your turn.
How did I get on the computer thing?
Because I brought up the 20 early. Minutes.
Okay. Would you rather have a hammer that's way too big or way too small forever? Into the future, forever and ever and ever. It's like, when you need a hammer, it's always too big or always too small.
I want to say too small.
Really?
Yeah. Because I feel like there's
so
some...
So it's like, you know that little hammer, that mini hammer that we have?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only hammer you have when you need to drive nails in. And if you need that mini hammer, you have an even smaller hammer. It's always too small. No matter what the situation, it's always too small.
I guess I was trying to think, like, there's going to be some situations where, like, you're using it in a confined space, you know? And then if it's too big, you literally can't do it. But if it's too small, you can do it. It's just going to be annoying, you know? Like, if there's, like, I can't think of a situation where this would be the case, but like if you have a piece of wood and then it goes down and then it goes back up again and then there's a nail at the bottom of the down part and you need a hammer in there. If you have a big hammer, you're just going to be hitting the wood.
I think big hammer, because then it'll be a workout too, you know? Good for your health. All right. Well, maybe that was kind of a dumb question, but I just loved like the visual in my head.
I know.
Just like always having a hammer that's way too big.
Okay, well, I have a question for you. This isn't one on my list, but for some reason this made me think of it. Would you rather suddenly grow 15 inches taller or 15 inches shorter?
15 inches.
I don't know.
So I'd be like 8'5".
You know, you'd be taller.
Oh, no, sorry.
You'd be
no, yeah.
8'10".
8'10".
Or you would be, 6'5"? Or sorry, you'd be 8'9".
If I had to choose, I'd go shorter because already being this tall is inconvenient. And like, if I was 15 inches taller.
How short would you be though? Let's see. So 6'5".
But
five,
I could still live as a normal human.
You'd be 5'2". Is my math right?
No, your math is wrong. I'd be like 4.
No, 5'2".
Because I'm 6.
Yeah, because. 5'2" plus 10 inches, that's 6 foot, and then plus 5, that's 15. You're 6'5".
Okay.
So you'd be 5'2".
Yeah, that'd be really short, but I'd still be like a normal human size, and I could still use human things. <That's> You know, true. I'll just be a small man, and that's okay. If I was like over 8 feet, you know,
that'd be pretty ridiculous.
No. 12 inches, 15.
15 inches. Six. You'd be 6'5", 7. Oh no, you'd be 7. You'd be 7'7".
7'7". Still, I think that's too tall. I'd hit my head on every single door. I'd fit in no cars. No cars ever.
Yeah, you'd have to go like the basketball player route and get everything custom.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Both would suck. I kind of like my height right now.
Yeah.
All right. Would you rather have the ability to pause time, but during that pause time, you would age at an accelerated rate, like 2 or 3 times more? Or you can pause time, but every hour pause, you need to sleep an additional hour.
I have to choose one of those? They both sound bad.
No, you don't have to use either power.
I'd rather have the second.
You'd rather have the second.
I'd rather have the second, where if I pause for an hour, then I have to sleep for an hour. You end up like at a net neutral.
Net neutral.
But there might be certain times where it's like, you know
you're
what,
I'm borrowing time.
I'm in crunch time right now. I'm going to borrow some time and I'll sleep later when I have time. But I feel like the other one, you pause time, but then you're losing life.
Yes.
And then what's the point of pausing time?
Yeah, right?
You might as well just do things during your life.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to like really be in some serious
crunch
time.
You really need to be in some crunch time.
Yeah. I feel like the cost of the other one is less.
The cost of the other one is less, yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. I maybe went a little bit too extreme with that accelerated time.
Yeah.
But, you know, we want to pause time all the time, you know, would love more time. But I just wanted to give you an answer, but with penalties on it.
Yeah. Well, you need penalties.
Yeah. All right. And that's my last one. I'm out.
Yeah. That's actually, I mean, I have a couple more, but they're lame. So I'm going to say I'm done too.
All right. We're done. Yay. Well, here, let's get to our things of the week.
Yeah.
I think that my thing of the week is in my pocket because it is. For those of you who can't see this, it looks like a little, like
a little floss case is what it looks like.
It's about the size of a floss, and inside of it are two earbuds. This is, like, you know, nothing new. It's just like the Apple earbuds, you know?
Except they're not like, Apple, yeah.
Except they're not Apple. They're called Soundcore, and they're made by Anker. And they are so freaking great. I use them all the time to listen to podcasts, music, and audiobooks. And a huge advantage of this little case is when you put them back in the case, they charge. And this, like, using them heavily could last me 3 days.
That's pretty
and
impressive.
I could use them for like 8 hours a day or something like that. They're just like, they just last forever. And they're so convenient. So I'm just really impressed by these.
Yeah. And this is your first time getting ones that don't have any kind of wire attached to them. I mean, we both have like some Bluetooth ones, you know, but they hang around your neck and they still have a wire.
Yeah. The only disadvantage of this is the right one is the primary and the left is the secondary. So you can't just wear the left alone.
I know sometimes you like will just have one in.
So yeah. And it's always the right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's interesting.
So it's like some you can have them independent or separate, but like then like if you had to like pair them differently and it's kind of a pain. So it's like this is their solution. Just like don't even bother with it.
But what if you put the left one in your ear and you just didn't have the right one in the case? How would it?
It would be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just have to have the right one out.
Out of the case.
Out of the case to turn it on. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think for most people, that may not be a thing. Yeah.
I really like it. They're just so convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my thing.
My thing of the week, and I'm very late to the game, but the new Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
On Netflix?
Yeah. On Netflix?
So
it's so good.
So good. I just like end up so freaking emotional at the end of every single one.
I know. The feels.
Oh, man. That last one just got me. I was just like way too emotional at the end.
I know. Yeah, I think we've watched like 4 episodes now of season 1. I think there's 2 seasons.
I think there might be 3.
Oh, dang. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yay. We have so much to catch up on.
But like,
and the first one, I had seen an episode here or there, but I didn't watch a ton of it. But this one, I'm like, I'm committed now.
Yeah, it's so good. And the you know, coming from our background after making videos, it's like, you know, we obviously don't do anything to the level of TV or movies or anything like that. You know, we're just two people just making film. It sounds so pretentious. I just had to like say something, but we're
making
just like
videos.
Making videos. But just knowing what goes into what they produce is so interesting because like getting those real scenes and stitching together that narrative and everything, that takes next level effort. And you like, I just get the sense that it's such a real experience and everything. Like more than almost any other show I've seen.
Yeah. The people seem really genuine, which I think is really cool. And the guys have like actual real talk with them.
Yeah.
You know? And it's also just impressive that it's like, at the same time, it's like a makeover show, but also a kind of like life coaching show, but also a like home renovation makeover show. It's like normally just the home renovation is its own hour long episode, you know? And this is, that's just a portion of this whole thing. Yeah. It's just impressive what they fit into an episode. And it's just really enjoyable. It's just like a fun, feel good show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of the podcast. You know, words. What do I say now again? Review, rate, bye. No.
Well, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thank you guys. Thanks for listening.